San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, February 6. Today's lesson is Can I See God in Me? With Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
I like this room. It would be nice to have this room all the time and have it magically grow as we grow. Wouldn't that be cool? Okay, we'll take that. But what we have here, right here, is God in action. Being right here, right now, is another instance of proof that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And we call that Spirit God, the living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause. And that is our anchor into the absolute truth of being, of how we are, of who we are, of what the world is. Now this month, we have a new theme. This is February. So our new theme is inner life. And when I first saw the theme inner life, I thought, well, that's kind of cool. And then I started thinking, how can I play with those words though? And I realized that playing with words is an exterior thing and being fully present is an interior thing. So what is our inner life? Henry Ward Beecher said, God asks no man whether he will accept life. That is not the choice. You must take it. The only choice is how. You are alive. There's no denying that. You didn't get to choose to have the divine essence within you. That's what being alive is. That's all that it is. There is also a quote from Anthony DeMello. He says, if you were to feel or look or sit and make contact with yourself, you would come to silence and things would be revealed to you. If you connect with yourself, you come to silence, to not scattered thoughts running all over, but to that still, still place. And things get revealed to you. Now, what's that all about? How do things get revealed to you? Don't you already know what you know? No, you don't. You don't know what all you know because we hide it with all of our human thoughts. The inner you is the divine presence. You are the embodiment and the expression of the source of all life. You are that source made manifest. The spirit within you is God. Absolutely is God. So what tools may we have available to us to access this inner life? What can we do? Well, we can use meditation. We can use affirmative prayer, visioning, journaling. We can call a minister or a practitioner for spiritual support. We can request spiritual mind treatment when we're facing a challenge. Those are just some of the tools that are outside activities to help us on the inside. If you look at the icon on your program today, it's this head shape with all of these colored lines all around it. And there's this kind of a white dot in the middle. Well, on a close-up, that white dot is the same head shape. What is within shows up without. What we are inside is how we express ourselves, how we show up in the world. So if this year we're living everyday wonder, here we are experiencing a miracle right here, right now. Last Sunday was our very last Sunday at the Alexandra Institute. And yes, we had short notice, but that's okay. Because what that does is that kicks our activity, our faith, our wholeness, kicks it into gear where we say, oh, okay, I was just kind of taking everything for granted here for a few minutes. So let me now say, I'm not going to panic. I am not going to worry. Because we've been here before. We have been in the same space of what is mine to do? What is my heart telling me? What is my inner vibration telling me? There were a couple of different places that we could look at to go. And so every time a place came up, I just tapped into the energy that that place had or that I had around that place. And so a few were easy to let go. Then there was the, what about parking? So people show up, people need to be able to park. So kind of a process of elimination. And yet, we can always work around something as simple as parking. What is it that we know about this teaching? A lot of people believed that it was for manifesting princes, palaces, and parking places. Or princesses, palaces, and parking places. Because, you know, it's the law of attraction, things we think about, come about, stuff like that. So when I started considering parking places, I laughed at myself and thought, you know what? The right and perfect place is here, is now, is already ours. And all we need to do is recognize it. Why do we use these tools, these spiritual tools, to access our inner life? I mean, why bother? Why not just, you know, decide, well, my inner life is going to take care of itself, so I'm going to do everything on the outer. You know, I'm going to build this really beautiful facade on the outside so that everybody thinks that my inner life is in good shape. That doesn't work. I'll tell you why it doesn't work. Because what is inside is what shows up outside. So no matter what beautiful facade we build, like with the three pigs, was it? The big bad wolf, the truth, it's going to come and blow your house down and expose that it was just a facade. And you don't even need to bring in an outside big bad wolf because your own inside contains all the good and the bad that you believe. And it isn't until we focus on the inner life and making sure that our inner life is in harmony and balance, that shows up in our outer life. almost sounds too simple, doesn't it? Hey, I'm going to think about what I'm thinking about. I'm going to do my meditation. I'm going to call some ministers and practitioners and have them pray over me, know the truth for me. I'm going to write in my journal. And all of those still can be outside things. It's who we are on the inside while we are doing it. What are we paying attention to? Marshall McLuhan is a Canadian educator, and he said, "What we become, we behold." Said that over 50 years ago. What we become, we behold. Wayne Dyer said something similar. "I'll see it when I believe it." What we see is what we believe. And if our outer life doesn't appeal, then we need to pay attention to our inner life. When we become, then we will see and experience what we are. So right here and right now, we are spiritual community. We are, each and every one of us, the manifestation of the divine source. All good, all God, all the time. Ernest Holmes said, "Nature demands change in order that we may advance in life. Welcome it with a smile on the lips and a song in the heart." So everybody smile, and we had a nice song in our heart this morning. We are changing to advance. We are changing because there is more of us to express than we were able to express in our previous location. This is like people say, "Oh, the door closed." Good Lord, no. What happened is the big garage door swung open. And so here we are, full of life. There's religious science, there's divine science, there's unity, there's a whole collection of new thought organizations. And Nona L. Brooks was one of the founders of divine science. She wrote, "The practice of the presence of God is the whole of divine science." The practice of the presence of God is the whole of divine science. So what she's saying is, you know what? All we are doing is remembering the presence constantly. It's like the Bible says, pray unceasingly. And when I was young, I thought, boy, my knees are going to get tired. And I have to be on my knees all the time. Thank goodness they have pads on the kneelers in church. But that's not what that means. Pray unceasingly means always be aware of the divine presence in everything. In every person, in every situation, in every pet, in every interaction. Because when you're interacting with somebody else, who are you really interacting with? The divine. The divine. You are the divine interacting with the divine, both of you expressing the divine perfectly divinely. The divine science statement of being is, God is all, both invisible and visible. One presence, one mind, one power is all. This one that is all is perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is the individual expression of God and is ever one with this perfect life, perfect love, and perfect substance. Man is always one with the divine. we actually don't have much choice. All we have a choice in is how do we deal with it? Because that life within is the divine. You don't have to like it, but it's fun too. And whatever experience you have in life, when you approach it from who am I to begin with, that I am love and joy and wholeness to begin with, then whatever the outward experience is, we don't have to feel like it has control over us. Because we are right here, right now, divine. So, what I'd like you to do, please, is place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Today.
Today.
The spirit within me is God.
The spirit within me is God.
That God is perfect.
That God is perfect.
Therefore, I am perfect.
Therefore, I am perfect.
Because I am one with God.
Because I am one with God.
And so it is.
And so it is.
So simply breathe. Just breathe and know that you are the truth of spirit here in action. Reverend Mark had a quote from Can We Talk to God this morning. And it's interesting because I couldn't find my Can We Talk to God book Friday and Saturday. And I wanted a quote from that book. So I just did a search on my computer, which has all kinds of stuff in it, for Can We Talk to God? And lo and behold, I came up with 5 different quotes from the Can We Talk to God book in various class materials and sermons. So I have a few. And this one is where Ernest Holmes wrote, "The most penetrating and far-reaching conclusions ever made by humankind have announced that creation is a result of the contemplation of God." Creation is a result of the contemplation of God. Now, there's 2 sides to that. Creation, all of the universe, was formed when God, Spirit, the Divine, thought. I like to say, what's the start of the universe? God breathed. And when God breathed, all kinds of things were created out of the very essence of that breath of life. But when we also say that creation is a result of the contemplation of God, what we are saying is that our inner life creates our outer life. What it is that we have within is supportive of whatever we are experiencing on the outside. Reverend Janet Friedland wrote, "God is in this place, and I knew it not." There are an awful lot of people that don't realize that God is alive within them. They look for outside things to find spiritual comfort when it's inside all the time. She wrote, "Mystics and holy men speak of the omnipresence of God. The Bible bears witness this way. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God is, and beside him there is nothing else. These words speak of truth. However, they only benefit us to the degree that we are consciously aware of this truth. Simply saying God is here doesn't make it so. The statement is true, but unless we know it in our soul's awareness, it doesn't do us any good. She writes, "Let us go to a place of silence where we cease the chatter of words and the clutter of thought. As we cultivate the listening ear, we find ourselves receptive to the revelation of inner awareness. It's there, in our inner awareness, that we discover the omnipresent God of which the mystics and holy men speak. Truth is revealed as knowing and sensing beyond human understanding." That's what our truth is. It's like, I know that I know. I don't know how I know, but I know. That's where we find the truth. It's in the place of give no thought that we become aware of God's presence as the truth of our being. So let us go there often and be at peace. Meditation, visioning, inner prayer work. A few years ago, well, several years ago, we had a guest speaker who was out promoting her new book. Her name was Laura Owen, and her book was Growing Your Inner Light. She had this book, Growing Your Inner Light, was a comprehensive, groundbreaking, and transformative guide to developing and sustaining a spiritual practice that suits your individual temperament and life situation. Individualized spiritual practices. What works for you? Everything doesn't work the same for everyone. If it did, we'd have one pill that cured everything. Everyone is different. Everyone is unique. There's chanting, dancing, focusing on candle flames. Not every spiritual practice is effective for every person. So even though we can get to a contemplative state, we can get to that nothing, I'm not the one who can do it by swirling around, twirling like the dervishes. What would happen to me is I'd swirl around, twirl around, fall down, and just kind of try to breathe. I recommend Laura Owen, her book, Growing Your Inner Light, because in it she describes how to activate the abilities that we have all along. All these abilities within us for nurturing a profound experience of spiritual connection. And it'll guide us on a clear path to creating an integrated, personalized way of living spiritually and authentically. Authentic living. Being who we truly are. That's important. That's really important. So we have these tools, these contemplative tools, prayer tools, all these different things to access our inner life. And we have this other book that'll say, hey, look, here's some other ways that you can make it work for you. Those are great. Those are great. I'm going to mention again, when we see what we believe, we see what we believe. And if our outer life doesn't appeal to us, we need to pay attention to our inner life. When we look at our inner life, we're moving from negotiation with the outer shell of existence into the rich inner life of the eternal presence. Science of mind as a teaching and as a spiritual practice, has a clear and concise road, just a roadmap for your inner journey. It's the journey home to who you always were. And why would we need that journey? Because somewhere along the way, we felt like we were not on the right path. Because if we felt like we were on the right path all the time, we would not be right here, right now. It's okay to look back and say, well, I was on the right path, but then I changed locations. Then I moved my place where I live. I moved my job. I moved this. I moved that. Well, that's all part of the path. And that's cool. That's not a reason to stop looking within. That's not a reason to stop being present with the presence. Ernest Holmes, in his Science of Mind textbook, he's the author of this book, and he's also the founder of the religious science movement. On page 465, he says, in this divine awakening, there seems to be an inner witness who remembers that we came from a heavenly state. He says, we know by intuition that there is something beyond what we have so far consciously experienced in this world. Poets have sung of it, and there are moments in the lives of all when the veil seems thin between, and we almost enter into the heavenly state. This is the meaning of coming to oneself. We are still in the awakening state. We have not yet consciously entered the state of perfect wholeness. We know that such a state is a reality and that we shall yet attain this reality. Nothing can dislodge this inner and intuitive perception from our mentality. We know it as certainly as we know that we live. The God in us knowing himself. We are awakened to the realization that the universe is perfect and complete. It gives, it is love, it is good, and it wills only good to all alike. And that's all your inner life. That's who you are on the inside. This is the season of nonviolence, season for nonviolence. And last week we did our congregational pledge, our commitment to being nonviolent. This day, today, is day 8. And if you look on your program inserts in the block on the bottom, I'd like us all to join together and say this together. Today, I will appreciate the Earth's bounty and all of those who work to make my food available. For example, grower, trucker, grocery clerk, cook, waitress, etc. And so it is. Isn't that powerful? And I thought, oh, how appropriate. Oh, how very appropriate. Everyone who works to make my food available. Who watches the international news? Who is aware of international news? Okay, so there's this thing called a Freedom Convoy in Canada. And the truckers are protesting. What I love about this, I love that they are using the same tools that Gandhi and King used in nonviolent civil disobedience. Doesn't matter what the argument is, doesn't matter what the political position is. I'm watching the activities of Gandhi and King play out up there. Nobody's burning anything. Nobody's beating people. All they're doing is having this nonviolent civil disobedience with the world's eyes upon them. And with the world's eyes upon them, the authorities in place have come under scrutiny. What they're protesting has come under scrutiny. How the police act, how the government acts, how the prime minister acts, all these things are being played out on the public stage. Why is that good? Because that's the stuff that happened when Gandhi wanted home rule for India. It wasn't just Gandhi. India wanted home rule. And through nonviolent civil disobedience, it got it. Now, we didn't have the internet back then, so it probably would have taken much less time if we had. Would it take 20, 30 years to get home rule? And then there's Martin Luther King Jr. In the United States, civil rights. I think it took less time to get civil rights in the United States than it did for India to have home rule. And that's because we had advancements in how we have media. We had television. We had international reports. Civil disobedience, nonviolent civil disobedience with the eyes of the world on us. So that's why I'm very excited about this day eight. I appreciate the Earth's Bounty and all of those who work to make my food available. Because the growers and the truckers, we forget them. We remember our grocery store workers because we see them when we go to the store. We remember the waitresses. We forget the cooks. But none of it, we couldn't have any of this without the growers and the truckers. So I want to say thank you to them and point out that it is so wonderful that it is occurring during this season for nonviolence. All things come together for good. They do. All we have to do is open our eyes, look within, and say, all right, what's good in this situation? What is amazing and wonderful in this situation? As far as where we are going to be next Sunday, right here in this place. But what I would like everyone to do is to know deep within the absolute truth that our right and perfect facility is available to us right now. That it is comfortable, it is convenient, and it is within budget. How about we make an affirmation about that, all right? Our right and perfect facility,
our right and perfect facility,
is available to us now.
Is available to us now.
It is comfortable.
It is comfortable.
It is convenient.
It is convenient.
It is within our budget.
It is within our budget.
God knows what it is.
God knows what it is.
God knows where it is.
God knows where it is.
And so do we.
And so do we.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Yay! Yay! I'd like to close with some points to remember and to think about. These are from the book What You Believe by Mildred Mann. Mildred was a student of Emmett Fox. So here's what you need to remember. You are divine spirit. You are a child of God. You have been given complete dominion over your life. With God, all things are possible. You are never alone, for God is always with you. Be positive in thought, word, and deed. Live up to the highest you know in all things. See the presence of God in your fellow man, particularly when you do not like him. Give something of yourself in everything you do and to everyone you meet, particularly when you don't feel like it. Meditate daily. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So, thank you for your time, for your attention, for allowing your inner life to be revealed and fully present right here and right now. Namaste.